Hi, and welcome to another Cyber Podcast episode. I'm your host, Christoph Limpelaer, and in this episode, Miwa Geschwind talks to us about her transition from the banking industry to becoming a full-stack developer. Now, we're taking a slight break from cybersecurity-specific topics on the podcast, just to chat about development to get a little bit of a different perspective, and also for listeners who are already developers or who are curious about development and want to learn more. I actually met Miwa at a local meetup here in Denver, and we started talking about her job and how she got the job and what led her down the path of web development. And she told me that she used to have her own baking business, but a series of events led to her joining a coding bootcamp and then getting a full-time job soon after that. And then as we were planning this episode, she announced that she had just landed yet another job. So for this episode, I want Miwa to share her story with us so that, number one, if anyone is listening and thinking of transitioning industries, they can see that it's absolutely possible. And number two, so that we can get practical tips on how to land a job in the IT industry and in present times. So Miwa, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I mentioned in the intro that you joined a coding bootcamp after deciding to make that switch, but can you walk us through timelines of when this happened, just for additional context?
Yeah, sure. So it's kind of interesting. I guess there were like a series of events that kind of led from me being in like the pastry world to being, enrolling in a bootcamp. And it's a little bit long story, but kind of like, I don't know if you ever heard, seen the Steve Jobs commencement speech. Like, you never really realize how the dots connect, like looking forward, but looking back, you can see how these like series of events led you to being like where you are now. And so I always really loved just making things, not like specifically in pastry, but I'm just a very like artsy, like I like crafts, I like building things. And so I found the medium of baking just in, you know, when I was 18 or 19. And from there, had a series of jobs working in different restaurants and eventually went to pastry school. And I loved what I was doing, but I don't know. I always also loved technology. And when I started having my own business and doing cake decorating, I was always frustrated with, you know, wanting to build my own website, start my own business and, you know, try to promote myself that way, but not knowing how to. So that always kind of like periodically came up as in my pastry journey. But eventually I kind of, you know, worked in Denver predominantly in the industry. And it actually was more out of like necessity that I made a transition to working in an office. Ironically, it was also called Cake, which is how I found it. I was like, maybe I'll just work in a bakery. And I found a posting for a job called Cake, and it was an insurtech company. And that's when I first met, you know, developers working day to day in this profession that I really didn't know much about, but was super fascinated with what they were doing. And so from there, I basically started to learn more about, you know, what is programming and what does it mean to like be building these components for our website. And I just became so obsessed with like, how do I get there? Just because prior I had not like really known the path to get there. And so once I kind of saw what it actually meant to be like working as a developer, I became, yeah, really obsessed with like getting there. And from there, that's when I started looking into boot camps. Because I was actually learning with the developers at the company, you know, 2 hours a week. They were amazing mentors and all helped me in my journey to becoming a developer. But eventually I just decided like I wanted to do this full time. And so I quit and went to a boot camp. So it's kind of like a non-linear path, but I eventually got there. And so, yeah, it's kind of how it happened.
I love that it wasn't a linear path, because it usually isn't. And so sometimes, yeah, I know people might be listening and they hear this story and this person just woke up one day and they figured it out. But the reality, yeah, is most of the time it's not like that. And yeah, so by being able to say it wasn't linear, this is exactly kind of how it happened. But I didn't just wake up one day and know, it didn't fall in my lap. I tried, mm-hmm, things. I saw, I talked to people. And through that exposure, I started to realize, mm-hmm, that I enjoy doing this. And then you kind of went from there.
So
if anybody's listening, right, and they hear that, keep that, mm-hmm, in mind, even if it's for cybersecurity or any other topic, try to get, mm-hmm, exposure to that. If you don't know yet exactly what you want to do, try to get exposure and see what you end up liking the most.
Yeah, that was honestly like one of the biggest advice that I got from, you know, the developers that were working at my company were like, do you even like this? Like, are you sure you like this? You should go to meetups and you should go to workshops. And I took advantage of so many meetups and workshops that were happening in Denver just to see like if I actually even liked coding. Because if I was about to make like this huge financial decision to go into boot camp, I wanted to be sure. And like, it was also like frustrating to me because I was like, well, I just want to like start doing it. Like, what do you mean? Like, you go to all these, you know, events and, you know, prolong like just starting. But at the same time, I was like, no, this is like really solid advice because if this is what I'm going to be doing every day, like, I need to be sure. And that helped a lot. Like, but again, the exposure piece, like, I feel like some people just, they never get that opportunity to be exposed to this as a profession. And I always go back to like, I remember when I was in middle school or even like elementary middle school, we had a computer class and I loved it so much. I mean, it was just like building websites and really simple websites. And, you know, when MySpace was like huge or Zynga, like being able to do all this like custom CSS and some small level of coding. And I thought it was so fascinating, but like nobody ever pulled me aside and was like, hey, this is a career. Like if you're interested in this, this is something available to you. Like I literally had no idea about it. I just couldn't connect those dots as like a child. And so it was, yeah, frustrating to be like, oh, I had this interest since I was young, but yeah, I didn't have, the network or, you know, the opportunity to connect those dots and, you know, put me on a path to like being on this, doing this sooner perhaps. But now that I'm here, I'm like, okay, well, you know, it really is just about like exposure and believing in people and providing opportunities to, you know, share like this profession with people, because I don't think it's for any one type of person. Yeah, I think a lot of times it just comes to like, were you exposed to it? Do you believe that you can do it? Because I believe you can do it, you know? So yeah, it's interesting.
When, and you mentioned going through the boot camp, which as you said, that is a financial commitment, right? So you have to, to know that that's something that you're interested in doing. But if I, correct me if I'm wrong on these details, I think that you went through the boot camp for about 4 months, give or take. And so during that 4 months, you picked up some new skills and then you got a job as a front-end engineer about 3 months later, right?
Yeah, about.
So how did you land that first job? Is it a case of it landed in your lap, or is it another case of you had to navigate through that?
Yeah, I would say it was a lot of like perseverance, because I graduated my boot camp in April of 2020. So COVID had just like the peak of COVID was or started in March. And so I think there was a lot of us who were just like, we have no idea what's about to happen. And I think a lot of companies also were just unsure if they wanted to hire like during that point, because they're like, oh, we'll be back in the office in 2 months, or will we? And I think once people started realizing COVID wasn't just like, it's not just a 2 week thing and we're all going back to our lives, like this is our life at this moment. There were, I guess I started seeing more like results, but there was like a, definitely like a month or a month and a half where it was just like a void, like applying and applying and applying and hearing like absolutely nothing back. Like not even rejections or like things for applying. It was like literally silence. And so that was really difficult, because, you know, I mean, it's hard to keep up that energy of like, okay, I got it. Like keep moving forward. But I think my mentality was just that, like, you know, there's just no way that if I do this every day and I apply and I try and I try that I won't get to where I want to be. Like, who knows if it'll be 2 months or 3 or 6 or a year, like, but as long as I keep trying, I know I'll break into the industry. But, you know, there's definitely like high and low moments. And eventually it did. Yeah, I started building like more momentum a couple months in. And then that's when I got, you know, interview for my first junior role, and then eventually hired. But I was fortunate that it didn't take too long, but still it was hard to like, you know, just keep that motivation and believe in yourself and keep trying. But
And how did you build that momentum? Were there any specific key points that you can recall that as soon as you started doing XYZ, then that built the momentum? Or was it really just persisting and then maybe timing also changed and things started looking a little bit more positive after that?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine like there's some timing adjustments, like people just started being more open to like, okay, we're going to continue our hiring process. So maybe that's also why I heard more back. But I think I was just like, even if it's small wins, like maybe today I'll send out like 10 applications and the next day, maybe I can only do one, but like every day I did something. But I did find like one of the other girls in my boot camp, she was the first to get her job. And she was already like having interviews before the program even finished. Like she was really dedicated to finding a job. And it, she really helped me like it, just in the advice of, you know, what she found to get more responses from, like when she was applying. And her suggestion, like her advice was basically like, when you apply, apply for the position, but then send an email directly to HR or somebody who works like the hiring manager or somebody specifically, send a follow-up email, which is a message saying like, you know, thanking them for the opportunity to apply. And then again, here's my resume, cover letter. I sent links to like my capstone projects and projects I was really proud of and like my portfolio website. So my basically mentality was, if this person's only going to give me like 3 minutes of their time, like what do I want them to see? Right. And so I would send these follow-up emails, and I found more success there.
And when you were finding these potential jobs that you could apply to, were you going through websites? Were you tapping into your network? How did you find that, maybe that specific opportunity?
Mm-hmm. I did like a wide variety of different, like tactics. Like I applied on LinkedIn and also just regular job boards. I consistently went to meetups and talked to people. If there were companies that I was interested in working at, or I just really liked the company, I would reach out to people on LinkedIn and just see if they wanted to have coffee virtually and just talk. And, you know, I really realized that this community, like people generally do want to help you. And if you ask, they will take 20 minutes of their day to just like talk to you and share their journey. Like, most people don't get into this with no help. And so I've noticed that a lot of people want to help other people. So I tried basically a lot of different routes. And eventually, I got the position I did just through like Indeed and applying. But then following up with that email with, my portfolio and resume, cover letter, like all of those things. And I also, as just a part of my curriculum at my boot camp, we were required to write blog posts, like technical blog posts, or just how we're doing on our journey into development. And so I also got comments that people actually read my blog posts, which while I was doing it at boot camp, I'm like, why are we doing this? Nobody's going to read this. Nobody cares. But then as I was like actually going through the job search, people did read them. And then it gave them an insight a bit just into more about like how my mind works as a developer. And so that actually helped me as well. So it was interesting.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I try to stress that quite a bit.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you hit it on the head there where you said, I feel like nobody's going to read this. Why should I bother? But frankly, sometimes it doesn't even matter if somebody's reading it. What can matter more is a hiring manager seeing that you've done that. So maybe they're pulling up your LinkedIn profile, maybe they're pulling up your Medium profile, whatever it is, and they'll see, oh, Miwa wrote 5 different blog posts that are relevant to the position we're hiring for. I don't have time to read this, but the other candidates don't have that. So that's really, really cool. I'm going to lean towards hiring Miwa. So that, yeah, that's a really good point. They don't have to necessarily read it, although it's great if they do. The fact that you're doing it, the fact that you're putting it out, can set you over the edge and potentially get you that job over somebody else. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you mentioned a couple of times, not only blog posts, but also projects. And I saw that you built a couple of projects through, I believe it was through the bootcamp, but do you feel like those projects ultimately did help you land the job?
Yeah, I would say for sure. I wouldn't say like I think everybody has different strengths when it comes to programming. And, I don't know. I think it's easy to compare yourself to another person and be like, well, I'm not as like brilliant in like, you know, I don't know, these like data structures or like specific things or, you know, certain people's like brains work in a certain way, so they're way better at solving problems more quickly. And I think for me, it was really important that I showcase that, like, I have a really strong, like, my front end skills are really strong, but also just like design and building like a web page and just the aesthetics of it are really important to me. And so I felt like that was my moment to be like, I am showcasing exactly like what my skills are, and you know, just being able to see a project that I've deployed, it can like translate really well into like just the kind of things that are important to me, and what kind of developer I am. So I did make it a point to deploy the projects that I really wanted to showcase. And again, like when I was sending those follow-up emails with companies I had applied to, I'd be like, this is my capstone. This is like a project that I'm really proud of. And I would always link my project because it was deployed, so they could like immediately see it and interact with it and see what I had built. So yeah, I would say that I think that helped as well.
I've seen some people that can sometimes freeze when it comes to picking a topic for a project, right? Maybe they have so many different ideas, they don't know which one to go with, or maybe they can't come up with any ideas. But I don't remember if it was both projects or one of them, but I love that you pick the topic of one of your projects to be related to pastries and baking. I thought that was really clever, right? It plays on one of your interests. You're obviously passionate about that topic as well. So you combine two different passions into one. But how do you recommend that people pick a topic when it comes to a project that they're hoping to show off in a type of interviewing situation?
Yeah, I think you kind of mentioned it, just it was an interest of mine. So then I built, you know, my project based off of that. Like, it's so much easier to stick to a project and like see it through when you care about the topic or it means something to you. And, you know, for me, I had that app about like, it was like building a cake. And so you'd sign in and then you could, you know, add tiers to your cake. So you could have a 3-tier cake or two and change like you could change what the buttercream was or just the finish and add different details to it. And it was really fun because it was a passion of mine that I like incorporated with, you know, programming and technology. And so it was really exciting to me. And a project like that I'm working on right now is like my fiance and I were getting married in a few years. So I started building basically like our wedding website, because, you know, like not.com or like different wedding sites have websites that come with it. But again, this is like, to me, it doesn't represent me, and I want to do the whole thing. I want to start it from the beginning. And so I'm passionate about it. I care a lot about it. So it's easier to work on it because I'm just excited about it. So I think like if you have other passions outside of technology or like programming, then like combining those is never a bad idea. And it also like showcases more about who you are as a person. And then anyone who's hiring can like kind of connect with you on that level as well. Be like, okay, like Icemi was really into baking and pastry. Like she built this app and, you know, kind of see a little bit more about me too. So yeah, I think it's a good idea.
So you prepared projects, you went through the boot camp, and then you hustled, right? You persisted to get that first call, to get the interview. Yeah. When you finally had that scheduled, when you were getting ready for it, how did you prepare for the interview? Or is there anything else looking back on that first interview that you did? Is there anything that you feel like you could have done better or that you messed up on?
It was an interesting interview because I feel like my interview was maybe a little atypical, or maybe just companies are changing their strategy of how they interview. But I only had a few interviews with that first company. And I think part of it had to do with the fact that they had done so much research on me and like looked at my repos and things prior to the interview. And because I only had a few interviews, I was like, oh, maybe they didn't interview that many people. But I found out later that they had interviewed like a lot of people. So it wasn't just that I got it out of like them being desperate or whatever. You just need somebody. Why would they pick me, you know? But like my interview process with them was basically they asked a series of questions specific about React, because it was like a front-end React role. And so React is just something that I also, you know, I really enjoy. And so, when I was looking for jobs also, I kind of narrowed down to the type of jobs I was looking for. And I narrowed it down to more React specific positions. And so I think I felt, I mean, I didn't feel like completely prepared because I, you know, you never really know what they're going to ask you. But at the same time, I knew what I was applying for the position wise and just reading through like the job posting and thinking like, what might they ask me? I prepared a lot just reading about like React and the docs and like some more specific stuff. But my interview was like a series of React questions. And then they also had me open up a project and just talk through some functionality of my project. And yeah, it was kind of simple, but that's kind of how my interview went. And something that I also realized was not realized, but you know, it's okay to like not know something and just be honest about that in your interview. If you don't know the answer, don't just like try to quickly like make something up that sounds right. Like just share that you don't know and like, oh yeah, like it's this. And you know, in a real life setting, you could Google that in like 10 seconds. So it's okay to not know things too. And I think I was just trying to be comfortable with that as well. But yeah, that's kind of how my interview process went. And then after that, I got to meet the team. And then from there, I got an offer.
It can be a pretty big red flag if you ask a question as the hiring manager and you can tell the other person doesn't know the response, but they're trying to flub their way through it. That can definitely come across as a red flag, right? So that I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Now that was the first interview and then you stayed at that position for a little while. And then, as I mentioned in the intro, when we were scheduling this, I think last week or the week before, you got a new job. You transitioned.
Yeah.
Positions and companies, right? And so that was now that you had prior interview experience, you had work experience under your belt. Walk me through how this interview was different and also maybe how it was similar.
We can talk a little bit about how it's similar. Like I felt like this interview where I'm at currently was more conversational, which I really appreciated. The role wasn't like specifically about React or anything, but I think there was a lot of basic like architectural questions about if you were build a backend, how would you go about it? What are the things that you would want or care about and need? And then similar questions about like the front end and if you got a task to do, like how would you break it down? And so the interview process was similar from my first time in that it was more conversational. Which I appreciated because I felt like, I know my stuff, but also I'm not getting like tripped up on like just specific technical questions. And I think like, yeah, just the technical interviews in general and interviews in general can be, can induce a lot of anxiety. And I definitely am one of those people who are affected by that. So it worked out perfect, just in the sense that I appreciate that it was very conversational. And you know, there was a lot of the back and forth and just talking about, architecture.
Did you have to prepare for it differently than the first interview?
I would say my preparation was similar in the sense that like, I think it's really important when you're applying somewhere to understand the tech stack that they use. And if there are things that you're not familiar with, that being okay, but just kind of having like an understanding of what does that mean. So when conversations about that are happening, you at least have like a reference point of what we're talking about, you know? And so I would say my preparation was similar in that sense, just understanding the tech stack. Just understanding that more in detail and seeing like what I don't understand or maybe what I haven't been exposed to. Yeah, I think there was a lot of like research and just studying, but at the same time, sometimes you really don't know what to expect. So I tried not to silo myself into like studying something very specific because, the interview could be about not that. So I think I just tried to make sure, that I was referencing like the job posting and making myself familiar with all the things that I didn't understand, but just stuff like that.
And to your point, if you research their tech stack ahead of time, even if you don't understand what the technology does, because you've never heard of it before, you're not hearing it for the first time in the interview, right? You've already maybe looked it up at a high level and you can see, oh, this is what GraphQL is, or this is what Redis is, or whatever. And so even if they ask you about something related to that, you can say in their interview, well, hey, I don't know exactly how this works. I've never used it, but I do know that it kind of does this. And so that, yeah, I could definitely see that helping as well.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes you like realize, well, I haven't used this specific technology, but I've used something like very similar to that. And, you know, through exposure and working at different places and maybe side projects and things, you get exposed to more. But especially as a junior, like, and having had one job, it's like I worked in this very specific environment. I had side projects, sure, but, you know, I'm not going to be exposed to everything. But yeah, just having, like you were saying, just the understanding of what it is, and then, okay, maybe I've done something similar, or, you know, things like that. So that's generally how I try to prepare.
So as we wrap up the episode, I like to go through a quick fire round where essentially all we're doing here is I'm asking you a quick short question, and then you just give me a quick short answer back, and then we wrap up from there. So let me start with the first question, which is, what are some of your favorite hobbies?
My favorite hobbies? Recently, it's woodworking. Built a Murphy's bed and a mantle. Yes. I live in a condo, though, so I don't have a lot of space to do that. But woodworking, I've gotten more into cooking, and probably disc golf. We play a lot of disc golf because I live by a disc golf.
I'm going to have to hit you up after this because I have a woodworking project that I need I need help with. So great. I just found my helper. You've been enrolled. Sure. Next question. As a developer, what's one thing that you wish you knew more about in cybersecurity?
As a developer, I think just maybe as a developer, but also just somebody who interacts with like technology every day, like what are some easy ways to like protect yourself from, I guess, cybersecurity attacks? Like that would be helpful because I don't know.
Perfect. And then what's one thing that you're most excited about doing again now that COVID-19 restrictions are being lifted worldwide?
Oh man, I'm definitely excited to just, I feel like it's cliche, but definitely travel and see more of my family. Yeah.
Do you have any traveling plans, any specific locations you're thinking of right now?
I don't know. We just came back from Alaska and that was pretty amazing. And I definitely want to go back. But I think we've also talked about going to Portugal or the Caribbean because I've never been. We almost went and then that didn't happen. So yeah, somewhere warm with a beach. Sounds great.
Any of those sound fantastic to me. Great choices. If people want to follow up with you, how can they connect and reach out?
I would say the best way is LinkedIn. It's just I guess you could just find me first name, last name. I don't know if there are many Mila Geshwins in this world.
I don't think so. I think it pulls up pretty easily, but if you have trouble spelling it, please feel free to reach out. I'd be happy to spell her last name for you. But thank you everyone for tuning into this episode. Thank you, Miwa, very much for doing this. Please reach out to her on LinkedIn, as she mentioned. I think you also have a contact form on your personal website, miwa.co, or just anywhere on social media. And please give her a big thank you for sharing with us on the podcast. Now, immediately after this episode ends, members of Cyber's Discord community will be able to ask Miwa questions in live format, so Q&A format. If you'd like to have access to our future guests for live questions, you can join by going to cyber.com/discord, and I'll keep you posted on what the next episode will be. So definitely do that. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.